Number 22. And as you're turning there, I kind of want to brag on Pastor for a little bit. I remember my first day working here. I walked into the office and Pastor walked in, printed out a few calendars and had me begin to plan the schedule for our summer interns. And one of the first things he said was, you know, Ben, when you're serving in ministry, you have to be flexible because anything can happen. And it's a blessing to see Pastor not just say it, but actually live it. And it lived out today. This evening, when I was talking to Pastor, he wasn't sure that he was going to be here. And when I saw him walk in, I immediately test our relationship by asking him, Pastor, I know that you just walked in, but would you be able to lead the singing this evening? And, you know, Pastor looked at me, he called me crazy or something else, and he willingly did it. And what I love about serving with your pastor and my pastor as well is that he doesn't just say it, he lives it. And he walks it, and it's real. And I pray that maybe this is your first time here, or maybe you're just a returning visitor. It's a blessing to attend a church where the pastor doesn't just say it with his mouth, but he also lives it, and he cares for you, and he loves you. So, Pastor, I love you, Pastor. Thank you so much. It's been an awesome time serving here and serving with the church members here, and I'm excited to see the future and all that God is going to do here at First Baptist Church. 2 Kings chapter number 22, and thank you so much again for being here and praying that God does a great work this evening. 2 Kings chapter number 22. We're going to kind of go through two passages this evening, chapter 22 and chapter 23, but we're going to walk through it. But I would just like to read the first two verses, and it's going to kind of pave the way for where we're going to be this evening. 2 Kings 22, look what it says in verse number 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. Verse number 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Revival has to start somewhere. And if we are to experience revival, we must realize the need for revival. A recognition of a need to have revival, a recognition of a need to turn back to God. And we see this throughout history. We see that in the beginning years of America being founded here. We see great stories of revival in the past. But something that I've always wondered is, why can't God do something today? Why can't God do something in all lives and in all church? And as I started researching and studying about revivals, I've noticed that, you know what? God is working and he is doing something right now. You may say, well, what is God doing right now? Well, in a university in Ohio, known as the Ohio State University, the Buckeyes, as many of you probably know, revival started somewhere, and it started in the life of someone. On the screen, you see a man named Cam Babb. Several years ago, he was a receiver for OSU, and on his way to the airport, he was in a Uber ride, and he started speaking to his Uber driver about his testimony, how he came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And during that ride, this Uber driver led Cam to the Lord. The Uber driver, he was a soul winner, he was a Christian, and he led this young man on the screen to the Lord. And because of that, he began to be on fire for God. And it didn't just end there. The Uber driver got his phone number, and they started communicating, and he began to disciple this young man. And because of this, Cam became a powerful, on-fire Christian, reaching out to his teammates with the gospel and leading some to Christ. He connected with other Christians on the team, and they began to have Bible studies that grew as more players on the team matured in their relationships with Christ. They started forming Bible studies, and they were able to have a revival where they were able to secure over 2,000 Bibles, and every person at the event was offered a free Bible. Because of his testimony, he played a lead role in seeing the evangelistic event come to life. He was also one of the speakers of the revival who gave his testimony. And as a result of that, wide receiver Emeka Egbuka also got saved. Running back Travion Henderson got saved. Tight end G. Scott Jr. got saved. Defensive end J.T. Tomola also got saved. And even a running back that's not even on the team anymore, his name is Master Teague III, he also got saved. You see, it's great to hear about what God is doing even now at different schools. But I want to see, and I'm sure many of you want to see God do something right now. You want to see God do something in your families, in our homes, in our churches, and God can. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we willing to take action for it? You know, Pastor has mentioned about the 40 days of prayer as we prepare our hearts for the revival. But are you desiring for revival to take place? As we look at the passage in 2 Kings chapter 22, just to give you some history on what's going on, the Israelites had a very rich history, you might say. Of course, dating all the way back to when they were in Egypt and the story of how God led them out of Egypt. And during this time, they were going through all these different types of kings. And 1 and 2 Kings, we have these two books that record the kings that Israel went through. The nation of Israel, they're going through king after king. And we find ourselves to a king named Josiah, who was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Just to give you some background on Josiah. Josiah grew up with wicked family members. If you have studied the book of 1 and 2 Kings, especially 2 Kings, you see generational kings going through different years. You see a king that did wickedly before God, and then another king who did the right thing. And you keep seeing that cycle. And in the case of Josiah, he grew up with very wicked kings. His father was wicked. His father was Amon, and his grandfather, Manasseh, a very wicked king. They built up pagan altars. They built up pagan gods, and they did not worship the one true God. But I want you to notice, as we study this passage, Josiah did not let that define him. Josiah did not let his past decide on his present or his future. You see, if we are to have revival, we can't wait for someone else to be revived. As Pastor mentioned, as we're going through this 40 days of prayer, we can't wait for our family members to catch the fire and the spirit of revival before we can. If we are going to experience revival, it has to start with you and I. If you desire that revival, well, there's a few things that we can see in this passage that Josiah does, some decisions that he makes, that if we are going to experience revival, we need to see what Josiah did. And my title for the message this evening is The Recipe for Revival. But we are going to notice three components that are key for you to experience revival. Let's study these three this evening. First of all, I want you to notice in verse number 1 and 2 that we just read. Look at verse number 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. First of all, Josiah made the decision to do right. You see, he walked in the ways of David. He didn't copy the influence that his father or his grandfather had. During my study, it's possible that, you know, Josiah had some godly influence in his life during the time that he was reigning as king. But Josiah could have looked back at his ancestry, at his history, and realized, you know what? I can just keep doing what my parents did. I can keep doing what my grandfather did. Why should I break the cycle? But he made the decision to do right. Well, what was that decision? His decision was to rebuild the temple, and that's exactly what he started to do. If you continue reading in verses number 3-5, he's saying that, let's rebuild the temple. Let's get some funds. It's been destroyed by my father and my grandfather. Let's rebuild the temple. And he started doing that. God wants to use people who are doing the right thing, who are obeying him, who are being faithful to him. Are you that person? Are you the person that no matter what your family is doing, no matter what your ancestors did or didn't do, are you the person that's going to do right? The Bible says, Galatians 6, 9-10, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Hebrews 13, 16 says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. I teach junior church here in the coming weeks, and that's where I serve in the children's ministry. And it's so easy to see the kids, how they're running around and everything. But as pastors told me that, you know, we're teaching these kids these character traits to be right, to be kind, so that they can grow in that way, so that they can obey and do the right thing. Because you know why? Doing the right thing, it pleases God. Do you desire to please God? Do your actions please God? Josiah made a decision that he was going to do right. And if we are going to experience revival in our life, we need to first of all decide that, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to not only do the right thing, but be right with God. I'm going to reference the 40 days of prayer that we're doing throughout the sermon. But one of my favorite parts about going day by day praying are the questions at the end. Because it's nice to get that thought from the Bible verse. It's nice to kind of get the idea of what's going on. But it's truly the questions that really get us thinking. And hopefully it gets the Holy Spirit working in your heart. Do you desire to be right with God? So in order to experience revival, there must be a desire to do right. But secondly, look what it says in verse number 8. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 8, verse number 22. It says, look what it says in verse number 8. I'm sorry. And Hilkiah, the high priest, sent unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So just to give you a little context on what's going on. So Josiah, he desires to rebuild the temple and make sure it's clean, make sure it has been torn down, and make sure it's rebuilt. And as he sends his scribes, his servants to go and start cleaning it out and get the funds for it, they find something in the temple. In verse 8, he says, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And he gave it to Shaphan, and he read it. And the scribe came, verse number 9, and he came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. Now, in verse number 10, he delivers the book. And look what it says in verse number 11. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the book of the law that he rent his clothes. This book had been deserted. If you study in the book of Deuteronomy, the law, the book of the law was to be preserved. The kings were supposed to have it. All these kings that's mentioned that did wickedly or did right, it was required that they were to have a copy of the law during their reign. But not only that, it was required to have a copy of the law in every Jewish house. The importance of having the book of the law in the house and everywhere was vital to the success and the history of the children of Israel. But because it had been deserted by his father and his grandfather, they just happened to stumble upon it. They just happened to find it. He wasn't even thinking of finding the book, but they happened to find it. See, in order to have revival, you shouldn't just decide to do right. There has to be a display of remorse. You see, once we receive the word of God, once we read it, once we heed it, whether it's in your devotions, whether it's at church, whatever it may be, we need to let God's word speak to our hearts. Notice the despair and the desperation. Look, it says in verse number 13, the Bible says, go. This is after the king reads it. He rents his clothes. Look what he says in verse 13. Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. He's saying, look, go tell everyone. I just read this. We need to get this out. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. This is what Josiah is saying. He's saying, look, I just read it, and if what I read is true, we are in big trouble. God is upset at us. His wrath is kindled against us. And instead of packing up the book and saying, oh, well, boy, nothing much we can do, and set it to the side, he said, look, we need to take action. The reason why Josiah experienced revival is that he did something with the book. He did something once he heard it. And if we are going to experience revival in our church and our homes, we need to do something once the word of God is ministered to us. Once we hear it, the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There needs to be a response to the Holy Spirit. Why did he tear his clothes? Because he realized that even though he was doing good, even though he was doing right, God's judgment was coming because of the wickedness of his ancestors and of the nation. But he had a response, and his response was remorse. If we are going to have revival, if we are going to see God move, we need to respond when we read the word of God or hear the word of God. You know, Pastor, when I'm teaching the kids, whether it's Sunday school or junior church, I wonder, are they learning anything? Are they taking in what I'm trying to what I'm trying to teach? And I'm sure, Pastor, as you've preached, you sometimes we wonder that. But all we can do is pray that, you know what, God will just use his word. The Bible says to bless his word. All we can do is just keep teaching and preaching the word of God. And not just us, families in your homes, parents, taking the responsibility to continue to cultivate the word of God in your homes, because it's truly the word of God, it's the Bible that can minister and change lives. And it's still changing lives today. Something that we all have to ask ourselves is, how is our fellowship and walk with God? I remember not even my freshman year, but going through even junior year and senior year, I struggled in this area. I mean, I understood that I needed to read the Bible. I understood that I needed to pray. But sometimes it became just a task for me. You know, I had the program. I had the small box that we could check off. And so many times it can get to that. Until I realized, and one of my teachers taught on this, that there was a much deeper meaning when we read the Bible. Do we realize that when we open our Bible, that we are seeking to hear from God? Whether it's a chapter or a verse or whatever it may be, when we open up the Bible, we want to hear from God. And we desire that. The Bible's profitable for everything. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:14-17, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We see that we are commanded to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It wasn't until a chapel sermon when I was a junior, when the speaker talked about personal devotions, that I learned that, hey, it's not about checking off a box. It's not just about accomplishing something just to get through all day. It's about seeking to hear from God. And the sad thing is, so many times, I know this happened, this was my case, we want to hear from God. We desire to hear from him. But when we don't, we just continue on our way. We just continue to go throughout the day and we don't think too much about it. But he desires to hear from you. Do you desire to hear from him? You know, we sing the songs to the kids, read your Bible, pray every day. And it's true that once we don't just pray, once we read our Bible, we grow and we grow and we grow. Growing up in Nigeria, Pastor, there are people who know how to pray. There are people that can stand up and pray for hours and hours. I remember we went to this one prayer revival, and the pastor started having people pray, and halfway through the service, the first person was still praying. We all know how to pray. But do we know how to listen to God? Do we know how to hear from him in his word? Luke 11:28 says, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. So many times we get so busy with our schedule, we get so busy with what we need to complete that we are just trying to get through our day. He wants to hear from us, but he also wants us to listen to him. If you've been through our discipleship program, you can ask Pastor or anyone that has landed on about our discipleship program. One of the steps, once we get to our daily walk with God, we give you a prayer journal. And that's not just to record some things or write down what you got. It is a way that you can be listening to the Holy Spirit and what he prompts you and what he is speaking. You see, you have a section in there that you can write down what you got from a passage. But then not only that, when you go into a prayer time, you have to pause and you have to listen to names that the Holy Spirit brings into your heart, or whether what to pray for and what wisdom to ask. But the point of it is not just to give you an assignment, but it's to train each and every one of us, including me, to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. If we are to experience revival, we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and show a display of remorse. Realize that our sin hurts God. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are you sensitive to God speaking in your life? And are you sensitive to the leading and guidance of God? In order to experience revival, we have to desire to do right and be right with God. But you have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as he deals with us and speaks to us. But then also, look what it says. Go ahead and flip to chapter number 23. So the remaining of chapter number 22, basically what Josiah commands is once he hears the word of God, once he reacts to it, and he sends his prophets, his scribes, to seek out someone to say, is it true? Is it true about this judgment that's coming? And they confirm that, yes, it's true. God's judgment is coming because of the wrath. But notice what God says because of Josiah's response. Look what it says, chapter number 22 and verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, they say, hey, send this back to the king. Thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and they shall become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes, and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Just because of Josiah's response to hearing the word of God, the judgment was delayed until the end of Josiah's death. Think of that, just the response. He hasn't even, we're going to get to chapter 23 when he starts taking action, and that's the third point. But before he even does anything, God blesses Josiah because of his response. Pastor mentioned something on Wednesday. As he was closing his message, he said, what would you do if the next 40 days, as you're praying, the goodness of God? What would you do if for the next 40 days you prayed and God started being good to you and the blessings that came because of you praying, because of you seeking God and hearing his voice? What would your life look like? What would your life look like if in those next 40 days you experience the goodness of God? Now, let's say you say, oh man, God was good. God was great. He did this. He did this. Okay, why should it stop at revival? Why should it stop when October comes in? Why should it stop once it's time, the revival comes in and it's over that following week, that following Monday when you have to go back to work? Why should it stop? God still wants to hear from you. He still has something for you each and every single day. He desires to use you. Don't let it stop once revival ends. So we understand that Josiah, he was sensitive and he received that blessing because of his response to God's word. But notice the next step that he takes. Thirdly, look at chapter 23. Not only was there a desire to do right, Josiah desired to do right. But secondly, we see that there was a display of remorse. He heard the word of God. He found the book and he reacted to it. But thirdly, there was the declaration of revival. Look what it says in chapter 23, verse number 4. In verses 1 through 3, he makes a covenant, recommitting the covenant to God. In verse number 4, the Bible says, and the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the host of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but almost the entire chapter of 23 is talking about all that Josiah did to clean the nation, to clean the temple, to wipe out everything that his fathers did. He took action by destroying the very things that his father and grandfather built. If we are to experience revival, there may be some things we need to deal with in our past. There may be some things, maybe some sins that we need to deal with. I'm sure there were some family members who thought Josiah was crazy. I'm sure there were some people, maybe in his own council, that said, what are you doing? This is, don't you realize what your father did, what your grandfather did? You're tearing up all these things. Josiah didn't care. He wanted to eradicate all the idolatry in Judah, even though judgment was still coming. God's judgment is still coming. That hasn't changed. But he still made the decision to cleanse the temple and restore worship to the country. He didn't have to. God had already blessed him by saying, hey, you're not going to experience any of this until after you die. But because of the change that happened in his heart, he had to do something. He had to take action. Because once we experience revival, once we see God working in our heart, we're not the same. Once we see God doing a work inside us, then our family members are affected, then the church is infected, then all of a sudden, what God does on the inside, everyone else can see on the outside. Notice that all the people, they were involved. If you read the rest of the chapter, it said that he broke in pieces the images. He cut down the groves. Notice what it says in verse number 15. It says, moreover, the altar that was at Bethel and the high place which Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place, he broke down. He burned the high place and stamped it small to powder. And he burned the grove. Look what it says in verse number 24. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits and the wizards and the images and the idols and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law, which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Josiah didn't just read the book and say, you know what, we're going to reform, we're going to do all this. He wanted to do exactly what the book said, and he did it. When we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit and start putting action to it, then other people will see it, and all the people were involved. Because of Josiah taking charge and making the decision, all the people were involved. That means that the Holy Spirit didn't just work within Josiah. It worked throughout all the people. Pastor mentioned the definition of revival being unified. That's what God's looking for. He wants to use not just me, not just Pastor. He wants to use each and every one of us. And when we come together in prayer and we are unified, then God can do a great work. Judgment still came upon the children of Israel, but it was delayed, and God blessed Josiah because of what he did. He desired to do right. This evening I want to ask you, is that your desire? Do you desire to know God? The Bible says in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If you look what it says in 2 Kings 23, look what it says in verse number 25. This is what was described about Josiah. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. The Bible says there was no other man like Josiah because of what he did. David was called the man after God's own heart. But what he's describing Josiah as, it's even more than David. He said that there was no one that turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his might, with all his soul. He fully, once he heard and he found the book and he reacted to it, then he made all these decisions. He went with everything that he had. Do you desire to know God deeply? Not just know him, but really know him? To experience revival, there needs to be a desire to do right and be right with God. What about when he brings up an area of our life? Are you going to take care of it? Am I going to take care of it? Maybe during this 40 days of prayer, maybe on day 10, maybe on day 12, or maybe day 5, I think it's tomorrow, maybe the next day. Maybe God brings something in your heart that needs to be dealt with. Are you going to take care of it? Or are you going to let it linger? The Bible says that our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and are you keeping your temple clean so that God can use you? Paul was explaining to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, that you can't just be like the world. There are many vessels he mentions, but a vessel unto honor is what God can use. Are you a clean vessel that God wants to use? This morning when me and Noah went downstairs to start setting up for Sunday school, we went inside the kitchen and there were a stack of plates there. And on the top plate, there was a plate that had some stuff on it, some old ketchup or something. It just looked very nasty. And I was surprised of how it got there. But we immediately picked it up and we threw it away. Why? Because no one wants to use a dirty vessel. No one wants to use a dirty plate. Why would God want to? If we have things lingering in our hearts, before we can experience true revival, God needs to take care of that, and we need to take care of it and deal with it. We need to be clean and ready for God to use. Are people seeing the effects that God has had on your life? Once you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, and once you allow the Holy Spirit to work and move in your life, and if you are obeying the Holy Spirit, then you can experience revival. And whatever God is doing on the inside, you'll be able to see it on the outside, and other people will see it. Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Josiah understood about revival. He understood that by doing the right thing and by hearing what the word of the law said, by hearing what the Bible says, he reacted to it. Quickly, he didn't delay. He got things done. He sent people out. He started as soon as he heard about God's judgment coming. He said, "You know what? Let's start cleaning up the nation." And he did it with all of his heart. Maybe some of us need to get clean this evening. Maybe in order for us to experience revival right now, then maybe we need to get clean. Maybe we need to make a decision to do right this evening. Maybe we need to make a decision that, you know what? I'm going to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is leading me to. If we follow this recipe for us to have revival, then we are going to see God do great and mighty things. Not just in October when we have a revival. But how about tonight when we go home? What about tomorrow when we're at work? God can do great and mighty things, but we have to be ready for God to work in all of our hearts. Every head bowed, every eye closed, let's have a word of prayer this evening. Let's just take a minute and just ask God to maybe reveal something in our hearts that maybe we've been lingering that we need to take care of. And let's prepare ourselves for what God is going to do. He's still working this evening, and I'm glad he is, and I want to be a part of it. But we all need to make a decision that, you know what? I'm going to do right. I'm going to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit working in my life. But also, I'm going to be clean so that God can use me and that others will see me. Let's take this time to pray.
you continue in prayer. He mentioned those questions. Is there any place you've not put God first in your life? Have you made decisions using your own wisdom and desires rather than seeking God's will? Have you allowed things to interfere with your surrender and service to the Lord, like ambition or pleasure or friendships or desire for recognition? Whatever the Lord brings up, won't you talk to Him? Our Heavenly Father, we love You and we thank You, God, that the promises of the Bible are true and they are Your will for our lives. And the majority of them are if-then propositions. They are predicated on us obeying the proposition You give us. And the promise is made based on that. And tonight, Father, we thank You for those promises and we claim them and we look to them. And our desire, God, is to be pleasing. And Father, tonight as we go from this place in fellowship, Father, we ask that You would continue to stir within us a desire to be pleasing to You. We pray for our children that are downstairs, Father, that those children will come to know You as their Savior, that these children will not only know You as Savior, but will know You personally, that they will hear Your voice through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, that they will walk before You. And Father, they'll know what it means to walk in the Spirit and to turn not to the right or to the left and follow friends or the flesh, but to follow You. And Father, as they mature and grow, Father, help them find their place, their destiny in Your service, Your part of the kingdom that You have for them. May their lives be an evidence and a testimony of not only Your existence, but Your perfect will for their life. And Father, may others flock to You because of the testimony they live. And Father, it is our desire that they'll want to be like You because they see You in us. And over the next 35 days, Father, draw us close. Draw each of us. Draw us ever so close to You, Father. And Father, if we pull back, we pray, Father, You would speak louder. Our desire is to be clean, to be in Thy presence, to hear from You. We ask for revival tonight. Wilt Thou not revive us, O God, as Your Bible says, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank You, man. Looks this way.